from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, if I sound, this is a little warning, by the way, guys, if I sound a little bit cracked, a little bit out of my motherfucking gourd, the reason for that is because, as of now, I'm probably running on like 2 hours sleep after 15-hour bus ride back from recent rally in Washington, D.C., and I decided I had to record the show because Tuesdays didn't happen. I mean, I'm still trying to do the two shows a week, so... Yeah, we're doing a show, and I'm all fucked up.
Cracked out show. You went all the way from Montreal to Washington, D.C.?
That is correct, sir.
How many hours is that?
Well, that really depends, actually, because there's no... It's not like a bus that goes directly there. You got to take a whole bunch of different buses, and some are express, some are not express, and it always depends on what time you fucking take it. Now, I, trying to be smart, took the one... You know, that left on last Thursday at it was the red eye, and I decided to use that one because I think the total time of that one was supposed to be something like 15 hours. That was the estimated time on the site. Now, of course,
in reality,
that's going to be obviously very different. The big problem with that one being that it didn't really connect with the express Washington bus, so I had to take the get to every fucking city but Washington bus. That one sucked. You know, at the moment where you're just like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't want to be in this bus anymore. It's over. I just want to press that emergency exit thing and just end it all. That was me when I got on that stupid Washington bus.
You are a hilarious drama queen when it comes to traveling, too. It's like the worst thing in the world having to go anywhere. My parents took me all over the place when I was a kid, so I got really good at not giving a shit about traveling. Across Canada, no problem. 3 days driving across Ontario, no biggie. Wawa Goose, I could take it. No big deal.
Well, yes, I will admit I'm a giant fucking pussy about it, okay? I admit it. I'm not a good traveler. I don't travel well. Something bad always happens when I'm traveling, and you know, for the most part, I don't think I'd care too much about traveling if I wasn't traveling while poor. That's the real problem.
Well, I mean, let's break it down. In the first place, you wouldn't even be on the goddamn bus if you were poor, and that's basically the biggest thing about, you know what, it's funny, because north-south isn't that bad. East-west is just so brutal. I mean, I've driven to Chicago, I've done a couple other...
How long was that, 18 hours?
It was like, yeah, something like that.
Ridiculous. Split between you and your brother and you didn't sleep or something mad?
It was just a lot of driving.
Just to go see a fight.
Yeah. So, those trips are bad. And Washington's in one of those areas where, you know, on a map, it doesn't even look that far. But in reality, it is a major bitch.
The globe is stupid big compared to you. Damn it. It's so big. And it's why it looks so flat, despite the fact that it's very, very, very spherical. Well, not too spherical. But yes, traveling while poor, that's the bus for you. Managed to find some cheap tickets. That's, the thing I hate about the bus is it was never designed for a man who's like 6'1". 5'10", maybe. But
that's my height, and it's just, I'd actually say it's 5'9", because when you're 5'10", your shins still press up against the bottom of the seat
rub
in front of you.
Yeah. By 6'1", you're praying that no one in front of you is going to lean their seat back. Yeah, like that's not going to happen during the fucking red eye, right? Which is normally why I avoid those motherfuckers. But in the end, it never matters, because if a bus is long enough, someone's always going to recline their seat, and that is just that extra tiny amount of space that's now gone. Gone forever. And I can fit in small fucking spaces. I don't think that's the problem. I think the issue is the fact that I can't go anywhere. Like, I can't stretch my legs and just say, I'm going to walk somewhere else for a little while. Nope, you just like sit your ass down, smell the guy next to you. Let's do this thing.
I'm sure everybody loves hearing the tales of welfare travel and everything like that. But I think a lot more people want to hear all about the Reason Rally, which is the reason you were in D.C.
That is. Now, I had kind of two intended purposes for going to the rally. The first one, I think the most important one, was, you know, you have to get a feel, and you have to be there to show your support, right? And, I mean, going in knowing that it was going to rain, I knew that whatever the numbers we were hoping for, it was going to be slashed by a third. Like, people, and it was legitimately awful in terms of the predictions. 90% chance of rain they had announced
before.
Well,
you know, for a bunch of fucking scientists and geniuses, planning a rally in the middle of March, stupid!
It's probably because a shitload of other rallies happen all the time, right in between them. Or, I don't know. Honestly speaking, and this is also, like, there's a double whammy going on, because the Reason Rally just ended, and the Rock Beyond Belief concert is, like, just around the corner, which I think is going to be a lot better. And I'm going to tell you why in the, like, later on. We're going to continue on, but it's not like I want to give the impression that this was a bad thing, you know, like, that I didn't enjoy myself. But when it was raining, like, seriously raining, and I was huddled in a time, you know, like, with two other people under a minuscule umbrella dressed in a garbage bag. It's like at one point you're just like, this sucks.
Well, I'm trying to get a better understanding for it, because it wasn't quite clear with the advertising as to, because to a certain degree it sounded like it was a rally, to a certain degree it sounded like it was a conference. How much of the whole thing was held basically out in that, what's the name of that stupid...
The Washington Mall.
Yeah, how much was held out in the mall, and how much was held in, like, buildings around the area? Like, how is the time split up?
Okay, well, basically, I want you to picture, you know, the Washington Monument and the and Congress are kind of like form like a line of grass, right? That's the mall. Now, half of that area was under construction. First of all, so the prime spot that most people do these rally events, where you can see the nice Capitol building. Yeah, that didn't happen. Instead, it was pointed towards the big boner, Washington's boner, which is less, I think, visually stimulating, first of all. And it doesn't really look like you're anywhere other than ancient Egypt. It's like an obelisk? What the fuck? An obelisk. Although, you know what's cool? Being there in person, by the way, you can see the different brick, and it looks hilarious. You're like, ha-ha, you ran out of the original, that other brick. Yeah, you suck. We didn't get to go inside because apparently there's all kinds of damage or whatever. It's falling apart. There's all kinds of cracks and that shit. And besides, you know, I can understand why. Apparently inside the Washington Monuments are giant brass plates from all of the states with, like, you know, carvings or shit like that. I'm like, that sounds heavy. Yeah? Is it just me? Like, I wouldn't put that in a giant penis that points towards the sky. I mean, that is a violation of gravity right there. You know what I mean? That big thin thing? Gravity doesn't like those little thin things. It kind of pushes on those until it crumbles.
I think it's kind of fitting that it's falling apart to a degree. I think it says something.
Well, everything falls apart, you know? Don't look too much into it. I think this is mean. This is mean. And besides, you know, it's Washington's monument. And the most interesting thing about, like, there's another Washington monument that used to be the thing, and now it's in actually one of the Smithsonian museums, the American history one that I went to. It's a giant statue, look like a Greek statue of fucking George Washington with a sword in a hand that he's giving to the people, and, like, sort of like a one of those classic Greek poses. And I'm looking at this, and I'm just thinking, this is weird looking, you know, like all these, this, it's too Greek, it's way too, he's got the toga shit on.
Well, you know, Washington is full of stuff that's just stolen out of other people's mythologies and stuff like the art styles and everything. I mean, the Lincoln Memorial thing. Look at that thing.
Oh, it's full of columns everywhere. I mean, yeah. They just keep ripping off the Greeks. It's hilarious. You feel like you're in ancient Acropolis. But yeah, so the Washington Mall area, which is a long grassy area, is pretty accessible. Like, there's a metro, the Smithsonian Metro, that pops right out of it. So it's extremely convenient. And so they had this fairly large stage, and with, I think the estimates were somewhere around 20,000 people ended up showing up. Although it's really hard to get the numbers. Like,
oh yeah, and it's you can't trust any news outlets, because
they're going to under, some people are going to underreport, other people are going to overreport. I'd put it at 15. That's what I'm putting it.
just your wild guess.
My wild guess, yeah. It was a pretty good crowd, but obviously, it could have been much larger. the reality of the rain. I mean, let me give you an idea, though, of how much the rain ruined things. At the same time that there was the Reason Rally, there's something in Washington called the Cherry Blossom Festival, which is a big fucking deal for them over there. They love that shit. Because 100 years ago, the Japanese gave them a whole bunch of trees, cherry blossom trees, and they planted it all along the, I think, a Jefferson Memorial, actually. There's like a fake lake that just surrounds it. So, you know, on a nice summer day or sunny day, it must be fucking gorgeous, right? Like, it looks like it's snowing fucking petals. Beautiful, right? Like, it just looks like one of those weird Japanese anime where you have all those petals flowing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah! Sword slashing and all that stuff.
Crickets. Well,
crickets and what crickets?
Well, they, like, whenever you're watching a Japanese anime or a TV show, you always hear the crickets rubbing their legs.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
It's always in the background, that drone. That's Japanese countryside sound.
Okay, so, yeah, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. So anyways, it was obviously, it's a popular festival, and there were very few people out there, too. So everyone felt it. 'Twas the wrath of God.
He rained on our parade. He literally did.
I still haven't seen anyone actually say that, because you know what the dangerous rebuke to that is, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just like a crowd where you weren't allowed to say thank God or...
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, if a news outlet would have focused on that and tried to see proof of God, I would have been... So, 25,000 kids starved to death, but he's going to rain on our thing. Is that the best you got? Like, oh no. So, there was quite a bit of rain. Now, when I had tried to arrange a meeting place near the Washington Memorial in front of the ticket booth to try to get people to, you know, like, fans to kind of congregate.
Yeah.
And I was really quite distressed when two people showed up, and that one of those I brought. So... When that happened, like, it kind of took a bit of the wind out of my sails. I'm not going to lie to you, because I had this whole idea of, well, I've got stickers that I'd like people to distribute and things like that.
You thought you were going to have an army of gophers.
You know what? I had estimated in my mind at least maybe 7 or 8 people, because at my birthday many years ago in Calgary, I had like 4 or 5 people show up. And that was not at a fucking congregation of atheists. Some people came really far to come see me for my birthday. So I just assumed there's bound to be a few people. Oh, you know, it was hard. Let me say this. It was very hard on my old ego. Very, very hard. Now, when I was I was, like, we cut up a whole bunch of stickers because I had made flyers that I wanted to distribute. But they're made out of paper. So I didn't want, like, you know, it's going to dissolve in this fucking rain. So I'm like, no, paper thing is over. I don't want litter around with my face on it. That would be awful, right? So I decide I'm going to use these for something else, maybe some mail out. I don't know what, but I say I kibosh that shit, and I decide I'm going to distribute stickers. And, yeah, that also was, like, I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like doing that part. I don't like doing my own promotion. It sucked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. I mean, we've gone through this many times where you go and you have to do all the nitty-gritty, and we're terrible at it. I mean, this is probably one of those reasons why, you know, so few people at the Atheist Conference knew who the fuck we are. It's also part of the fragmentation of the scene.
Well, I mean, I think at the time when that, you know, when two people showed up, what affected me... There was just, because of the problems that Good Atheist had, the web issues and all this other kind of stuff, we actually backslid for a while, you know, like I've been pushing back forward like that tide.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was like one of those...
Oh, you can't basically get inconsistent for like half a year or more and not expect the numbers to take a massacre.
Yeah, like a massacre. Anyways, and when that happened... I guess, like, on the trip back, because, the trip back is, like, quite long. I guess I got a little bit too into my own head about it, because I was just like, oh, my God, like, what was I doing? Like, as much, I mean, I had fun going down. I made some new friends, and the Great and Square After Party, which we'll talk about in a little bit, was just off the hook. So, you know, I really can't complain about the experience. And I got a good feel of what the Reason Rally is like and what I'd like to do
next year.
Maybe
some insights into the atheism scene as well?
Well, the whole time I was watching the Reason Rally, because they had, you know, they had a bunch of speakers show up and, you know, just give their like, five-minute spiel or something. And, you know, I've never really been a big fan of that. Like, I don't care. I can see all of these things on the web. And seeing them in person doesn't really give me... I don't really give a shit. I went there because I wanted to be one of the numbers, one of the people that was counted. Like, that if I had the money, I was going to say, I can't not be there, you know? Show myself to be, like, some half-hearted fucking atheist. And then the one time that it's like, show up, motherfucker, because you're trying to send a message here, and you've got to go. And I was happy to go, and I was happy to be there. But, I mean, I guess there's that whole thing where your ego's obviously going to take a hit. You know, because you're nobody. You're just a dude who records a fucking podcast, and you can't even get three people to show up at your fucking little post thing. Not happening. That was probably the worst moment of the rally. Now, the second worst moment was the real deluge that was happening at around noonish. Holy fucking shit. Like, it wasn't so bad, but then the rain just started pouring, and it was just... It was like my feet were wet, even though I was covered in a garbage bag. I mean, how much coverage can you get from a garbage bag? And after seeing James Randi for what I have to assume is probably the last time, right? Looking frail, looking tiny. He looks like he shrank five times. He is diminished. Let's use that word.
Aww.
I know that feels sad. That feels very sad, but you know. Aging and all, it will do that to you. Mm. It will diminish even the best of us.
Well, Hitch kind of reminded us that
mortality is around the corner.
Our four horsemen have a death horseman problem.
It's like it's now three. Mm. And those numbers could be slashed like an end. What's the fucking ticking clock on Dan Dennett?
It's like James Randi dies of pneumonia that he picked up at the Reason Rally. Oops.
Oh yeah. See, I could believe that one. I could believe that one, and that would be awful. That would be really awful. Pneumonia related death of secular and skeptic icon. Well, truth be told, you know, like, I left a little bit early from the rally. The rally is supposed to finish at 6. I left at 4 because I was just soaked to the bone, and I wanted to get ready for Graydon Square's after party. And, you know, after the speakers had gone up and everybody was just, you know, sitting there clapping, and that's just pretty much all there was. The rally was be there.
Stand around,
and then dissipate. And go to whatever other things you got going on. Now, there was a conference, like an atheist conference the next day. But, you know, it's like one of the standard fare, expensive to get in. I'm not really that interested in...
What was the price?
Good question. I don't want to say because I don't want to get in trouble. But I think it was at least $100.
You know me and my attitude towards these fucking conferences.
I know your attitude towards them. And, you know, to a large degree, it's shared. It's not 100%, though, because I always believe that there's... You know, there's people obviously go to these things. There's room for it. The issue that I had when I went to the rally, and something that I've been thinking about the whole way down here, is the fact that if we want to go from 15,000 to 150,000 in a rally, what we need is more atheist culture. You know, and that's what I kind of saw when we were there. You know, hilarious signs, great T-shirts. That part was cool. It was the beginnings of memes going from their online versions to the physical version. Like, the best costume was a guy in an inflated, you know, a dinosaur thing looking like Jesus riding a dinosaur. Like, that was... And there were some other pretty good costumes and shit like that. And some great signs. Like, there's a post about it I tweeted. You can go on, tweet The Good Atheist. Do a search at The Good Atheist. And then you'll see that. But I felt like... This is the beginnings of it. If we want to interest people, we have to go beyond just the rationalist introspection. You know, we had a rally about reason. We went to go be emotional about it and all. And that was good. That was a great part of it. People were really excited. They were cheering. They were chanting. That's all good. And we, you know, that's part of establishing that culture. But you need to have other things too. You know, like a culture needs to be rich. And when we think about Jesus junk and all that other kind of garbage, they have a pretty strong cultural identity. They have a lot of rituals and mythologies and all kinds of things that they can just sort of like geek out on in a way. And the more that we have of that as a group, the bigger we're going to get. We just have to be a cool culture. You know, we have to sort of like espouse not only the emancipation of the mind, but also sort of like the joys that can bring. You remember a couple shows ago I was talking about hope and how fucking important that is and how sort of like we need to just, people are ready to feel hopeful again? And
no
shit?
No reason to wallow in apocalyptic visions.
Well, not in 2012, jeez. But yeah, like, I feel, to some degree, I think that that's what the rally was really all about, to get people to feel pumped about it. And I'm sure that everyone who left probably left with a really enriched experience, especially if those who had maybe gone to, you know, the conferences and felt like, I don't really want to go to that because I don't want to listen to a speech for an hour about something that I'm pretty sure I already know. I hopefully people made new friends or got in touch with, you know, where maybe they had only been online correspondence. Who knows? There's probably lots of great fucking Reason Rally stories.
Youths and teenagers realize that they're not alone, that there's a bunch of people who think the same way that they do. That's always important.
And you know what? The other thing, too, that was great, there was really a lot of girls at the rally. There were a lot. And that was awesome. Like, I didn't feel any fucking disparity between the guy-to-girl ratio at all. So, you know, and that went for also the age groups. There was a good variety. I wouldn't say there were a lot of super old ones, though. I'd say probably that limit was, like, right at 60. You know what I mean? Right there! Any older, and no good. Odds are they're probably, ooh, you filthy atheist. And one of the things, too, that there was a lot at the rally was buttons, stickers. People love those, man. I'm doing the whole button thing next year. Buttons were wild. Everyone was going ape shit. It's like, I'm going to wear that shit right on me. I'm going to fucking tell everyone on the streets of Washington who are going to give me a weirdo look when I walk past them with a giant thing that says, you know, critical thinking is awesome or some other such button. But yeah, like, the pride was in the air. And I think that that's what I think everybody left there feeling. A lot of pride and a lot of fact saying, we are an establishing culture, and this is happening. Now, with that, I want to talk about the Great and Square after party, which, truth be told, if that had been the only thing that I would have traveled that far for, I would have done that. Because, though it was a small party, maybe, 100 people max, it was awesome. Like, it was, it really reminded me of the fact that when I was talking about enriching atheist culture, here was some awesome fucking atheist rapping coming from this group called Grand Unified Theory, who I'm going to be interviewing very shortly, both of the guys from that, and I'm going to be playing some of their music. We're probably going to be doing something else with Great, and I'm going to try to convince somebody, at least, to do another concert or some shit. Like, I think that people need to come to these things, and they're just going to have a wild time. Like, when someone's rapping about shit you care about, yeah, it's good. It's real good. And, you know, the one of the things that my tour guide and new friend Ashley, who was kind enough to allow me to stay, she was admittedly not a big fan of rap either, and she was just like blown away. It was such an awesome show, and she's like telling me, you know, Graydon's so intense, he's so intense. It was coming through in these lyrics, and I'm like, oh yeah, there was lots of intensity, and it came through in the music, and that's what was so great about it. Like, there was no way to be there and not feel like kind of totally caught up in the moment in the music, and that was like a really memorable thing. Plus, after everybody was just had such a great time, and Mandisa, who I recently interviewed, and unfortunately lost the interview, so I'm going to be doing another one, she did such a fucking good job. Like, this is someone who, you know, we were talking about, like, how these, you know, like, we're not really that interested in events. Someone like Mandisa Thomas is making these kinds of events happen that are fun and awesome and really reaching, like, the African-American community. And not just them. I mean, it's not like it was, like, close to anybody else. It's just, like, the focus in the African-American community is music.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it the biggest problem with the atheism scene right now is that everything is geared towards 55-year-old professors.
Well, that's who are that's who's designing these things, you know? Teachers, professors, not entertainers. I mean, I hate to be the... I don't want to be too hatey on this, but you know how what kind of an art snob I am. And, like, honestly, our next goal in 2013 should be to get some fucking graphic designers, because it's embarrassing, boys and girls. Like, we look crappy. I mean, it's our version of... I don't want to be Jesus junk, you know? I want us to always be sexy. Sexy. And besides, like, you know what? This is a call out to anybody who's trying to make a button or some shit, and they don't know what they're doing. Please give me a call. Please. I'll probably do it for free. I can't stand it anymore. Like, I just want us to stop looking like... this is some two-bit operation. I want us to all look pro. I mean, if I had money, I would redesign everybody's site so it would look sexier. Like, seriously. I just feel like it's not there. Like, we're just not there design-wise. And you look at some of these Christian websites, they're slick as shit, man. They're so slick.
It's 50-50. Some of them are hilariously inept, too.
That's true. But the ones with money are fucking slick. Like, you saw the You Can Run But You Can't Hide. The piece of shit ministry. And they've got an awesomely... sexy site, and they spread poison, fucking poison. They have nicer sites than we have, so I don't know. I guess that's my one, you know, complaint. But that's me. You know, I'm like I went to the art museum complaining about how much I hate Degas and fucking Rodin because I think that his stuff is rough as shit. I'm like, unbelievable, especially Degas, who's so bad. Oh my god, he sucks.
Yeah, art snob.
Oh yeah, I am an art snob. Yeah. So, the cool thing about the Graydon Party 2 was that there was, how to describe this? There was like a genuine feeling of like excitement from the crowd. You know what I mean? Like where still people were cheering at the Reason Rally. Here they were just going ape shit, and that's what I want to see, man. I want to see more fucking people going apeshit. I just want them to have a good time. I'm like, look, the Reason Rally was us getting emotional about Reason, and it felt good. It felt good. Like, I love what Tim Minchin said, where we have to have, you know, 300 years after the Enlightenment, we have to have, you know, a party to state the fucking obvious. But I'm like, it's going to keep happening. You know, the stating the obvious thing, you always have to state the obvious, it seems, because it's being ignored. Hello.
Yeah, you're seeing a major pushback going on right now, not just from religious people, but also just from people with agendas. Anybody with an agenda can push whatever reality they feel like will profit them most, and if you're slick enough at it, you can get away with it because people aren't educated the way that they need to be.
It's weird that, you know, we have to, with our with newfound confidence, cause it comes like a vigilance where you're like, we do make the other side stronger. I mean, how in the world could a Catholic man like Rick Santorum get the support of evangelical Protestants? I just feel like it's just shocking. Shocking. And that could only exist, really, I'm saying this is a consequence of us. Like, not entirely, obviously, but just the ability for those groups now to work together. Their bigotry has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, many of us have newfound liberties that they want to take away. Like, look at... I was watching the movie Milk with Sean Penn, which I'm like, if you have not seen this movie, immediately see this movie. You must see it. I don't know why I waited so long. I was an idiot.
It's a heartwarming tale of this politician in San Francisco who gets really high in power and everything works out great for him.
Except for that, you know, except for he gets killed. He's assassinated.
What?
You didn't know this?
Yeah, I did. I just fucked with it.
Well, it's about the gay rights movement. And, you know, there's a lot that we can learn from the gay rights movement. A lot. And, as you know, one of the scenes in Milk is where he talks about people needing to be out because they're about to pass Prop 6, which would have made it so that teachers could have been fired for being gay, or people who, you know, were helping them out. Like, even if you weren't gay, you'd be fired for concealing that someone was gay or that kind of stuff. Like, just an awful piece of law, which came really, which was being really pushed by the religious right, you know, sound familiar? Anyways, their tactic, Milk's tactic, was to say, look, you've got to come out. People have to know that they've got a friend, they've got a family member that's an atheist, or I mean, gay, sorry. and when that happens, they're not going to be able to have the same prejudice anymore. Because, sure, some of them are really going to leave you. That's just reality that you haven't yet faced, you know? Like, and I think that that's speaking to people who are in the closet scene, about atheism, where they can't tell people, and just because they're like, I'm going to lose my family, I'm going to lose my friends, but they don't realize that all of the coming out that people had to do when they were, you know, back when you're just getting your ass kicked for being gay, was the necessary hardship that they had to suffer through in order for people now to be able to marry, you know, for them to have the rights that they have now. And the fight is not over. You know, because a state will allow gay marriage like California and then take it away. And then bring it back, maybe?
Who knows?
It will in the future. I can fucking guarantee you that. Because, you saw it. You can see it in people's eyes. It's just that the other side, the religious folks, they are so fucking strong. Like, cannot overemphasize just how big this dragon that we have to slay is. It's massive. And part of that is having to be courageous, man. It's doing the same thing the gay people did, where they took it in the fucking chin in order for their brothers and their sisters to be able to have the fucking rights that people have now. And there's a lot to be admired in that. And the people that do come out, the ones that are suffering from fucking hardship right now, I hope that you know that that's doing something. It doesn't feel like it for you now, because you like the men and women that Milk was fighting for at the time, in 1978, let's say. Maybe they didn't see the light at the end of the fucking tunnel. I feel like, at least with the gay rights movement, you can, you know? Though the battle is, the war is not won, and many battles are still yet to be fought, you can see victory at the end. Because you see the human compassion grows. And we should, this is the same wave that we need to ride, folks. Compassion grows. It's a growing thing. So, you know, perhaps the last thing that we can just take from the Reason Rally, which is something I guess is a bit of an oxymoron for atheists, is that we need hope. And we hope is hard.
We need to believe.
You know, I find myself in that same situation. When I came back on that bus, and the reason it was really hard to fucking travel back is because, you know, when you take a bus ride and you're like, oh, I'm going to go home in my bed. Yeah, I don't have that. I'm still traveling. Still sleeping on a fucking couch. What do I have? My fucking fiance is half a country away, and I can't, you know, like, I can't see that light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, especially when it fucking gets dark. And you wonder, like, man, where does that feeling of hope come from? And you realize, well, the feeling of hope comes from something that's real. It comes from your fellow human beings all around you. The ones that, you know, the ones that I wasn't able to fucking reach at the rally. The ones that would just love nothing more than to listen endlessly to my show that still don't know about it. I have to have hope that these people exist in large enough quantity that I'm not wasting my time in doing something that's going to end up fucking me over. That there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I have to just go kind of on hope right there. It's a bit of a tough thing for a person to have to sort of accept, especially a fucking hardcore rationalist like myself. And, you know, when you use words like you got to have, you know, we hate the word faith, for instance, because there are those connotations with religion. But for us, it means something different to us, I suppose. It's like you choose a position to believe based on evidence. You'll never know if it was really the correct one. And sometimes that evidence may seem even shaky, but it's the best that you have. And you assume that at least within your capacity for reason and intelligence, you can figure that shit out. But, you know, you really do never know. You must always be vigilant. So every once in a while on a hard trip on the way back, when you have some dark thoughts about saying, fuck this, you have Bruce Gear 2, you sit down, you record a show, and you're like, the end of the world's not going to happen. There's hope for the future. And the general experience was just fine. I'm just cracked out of my skull right now. That's all.
It definitely sounded like an interesting time. And it always interests me when you see a new subsect of atheists. Because the people who come out to these things are definitely different from the people... you know, that maybe
In the sights, or
well, I don't even say that because for me, I'm not really in because you'll see a lot of the same people maybe on the forums that you would see at a conference or at a rally like this, but there's a lot of casual atheists out there as well that are just kind of cut off from everything else.
Well, actually, it's funny because Lena, who was one of the two that came, she's my new lieutenant, by the way. She's my bodyguard too because she's like a Marine and shit. But anyways. Lena's trying to keep me, motivated and shit like that. She's one of the people who really helped. She printed stickers and she was actually kind of disappointed too by the fact that we didn't get the word more out. And I guess she had kind of expectations, and I was trying to tell her, saying like, look, in this game, you can't have too many because you're gonna let yourself down. You know, it doesn't happen like in your fantasies. Growing at a business like this is slow and fucking meticulous, and that's the only way that it works until one day you're giant, you know? But that day may never come. You can still grind it out, though. And I guess for her, you know, she felt bad. But her fiancé, himself an atheist, is just feels like these kinds of things are a waste of time. And I'm not going to... I would try to dissuade this person and say, listen, pal, I know that it doesn't seem like a big deal to you now, but this is a ripple in a pond. And I want you to think about, say all of human culture is a giant, giant pond. And every time you put a ripple in it, you're competing against these other ripples that may cancel your ripples out. That's a common effect in waves. But sometimes you have other events that actually augment the strength of your own ripples. Like, that's all that you can hope. You and I, Ryan, we have a little bloop in the pond. We try to spread that wake as far as we can and to see if maybe we can actually start new ponds. Like, you know, there is a podcast out there that I'd like to recommend you check out, called The Imaginary Friend Show. That's from Jake Farwarden, who had been a fan of the show and had felt inspired enough to start his own. And, you know, he did manage to make it in terms of the top five finalists. For the Atheist, About.com Reader's Choice Award. So, you know, not a small accomplishment. And that's part of that ripple. And we can't always see what those ripples are. And like, to go back to that person who's probably listening to the show is like, oh, you know, how many people listening to the show are probably out and alone as a result of that? And, you know, I just want to let you guys know that the ripples are real. But just... there's going to be a lot of fucking, you know, the boat will rock a lot. You know, these are the waves that we're trying to fight. These are not little ripples. They're giant fucking waves of irrationality, of hatred of science, of fucking anti-intellectualism. To combat those, my friends, we need to be strong.
Motorboats of ignorance driving across our pond.
What, you didn't like my metaphors? I think I took it just to the limit.
You were taking it pretty far at the end there.
Whatever, man.
It's okay. I like it. It was working. I just had to make fun of it a little bit.
Yeah. Motorboats of hope.
No, of ignorance. Because, I mean, the hope, we're dealing
we're,
with...
We're, no, we're, well, we're on sailboat of hope, right? Riding the winds of change?
Sure. I guess okay. That works. I guess that works.
You know what? I don't think we're going to get any better than these metaphors. All right, that's pretty much it. Is there any, like, since you weren't at the rally, what is there anything I haven't covered that you want to know more about before we end the show? Like, just you're the everyman. Ask me anything.
No, I pretty much got, like, I wanted to know what the deal was as to whether or not it was really like was it a rally, was it a conference? It didn't seem clear to me. Did you get to see Bill Maher?
Oh, you know, that was hilarious because they pretty much just played his show from the night before.
Ah, for real?
For reals.
Lame.
For reals.
Lame.
And then they had Pendulette on, like, a pre-recording thing, I'm pretty sure.
What, like, again, like, just a video of him saying stuff?
Yeah.
Video. Lame.
Lame. Lame. The very lame. It's like, oh, yeah, we had him speaking into a box. Like...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, hopefully in the future...
It's the first one, you know? It's the first one. And plus... You know, there's a couple lessons that I think everyone's going to learn. Number one is if you're going to have, like, a huge tent where you have a bunch of booths and stuff that people can get, you need to be more organized. Oh, my God, it was a fucking nightmare in that tent. But number two, people ate up the swag like nobody's business. And I mean, that's what everybody was just, you know, the stickers that I was handing out, people were wearing. Like, they just wanted to have some motherfucking swag. So I'm like, next year, the problem is that nobody could sell that shit. You weren't legally allowed to sell it unless you had pre-sold it. But I think that's fine.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. You heard me? You're just not allowed to
sell
them
all. Hey, America, get out of the way of business.
Seriously. But come on, it's the freest place on earth.
Yeah, freedom.
Yep. And you know, I was kind of worried. I'm like, I hope there's nobody from the Secret Service in the crowd, because technically they could throw us all in jail. Oh, what a great new law. Thank you, President Obama. Okay, well, let's end the show with that. I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member who have continued to support us. Please, we're still in that Safe TGA campaign. There is a $30 membership that's going to be expiring at the end of this month, folks. For renewing your membership and pre-ordering the ebook with the audiobook, it's on the sidebar. You can't miss it. Just click it. Bam, it's done. And it helps. It really goes a long way to help make sure that this whole thing keeps going. Like, we're still in the Safe TGA, and this is the last week of this is the last free bonus show, by the way.
Oh, we've been a month. It's been a month.
It's been a month, man.
Craziness. Time flies when you're recording tons of podcasts.
Tons and tons of podcasts. So you're going to go back down to one a week. If that's scary to you, then you better sign up, and you better get pre-order the book at the same time, because that's going to be expired, bitches. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.